On Friday's page one, the UN Security Council approved a no-fly zone over Libya and airstrikes to halt attacks by forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Bringing the overheated nuclear reactors under control in Japan could take weeks. And retired thoroughbreds that aren't getting the care they were promised. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the UN Security Council approved what it called all necessary measures to protect Libyan civilians against Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's forces. That includes a no-fly zone and anything short of a ground invasion. The vote came as Gaddafi warned that an attack on the rebel capital of Benghazi was coming. He promised amnesty for people who, as he put it, throw their weapons away. At first, young people were behind the unrest in the Arab world. Now their momentum is stalled in Libya and Bahrain, but Times reporter Michael Slackman says the young are still forcing changes in places like Morocco and Jordan, and they're guiding the transition in Egypt and Tunisia. What surprised many was the absence of religious discourse, because this generation has been more observant than the previous one. Friday's Times has details on the first readings from American data collection flights over Japan's stricken Fukushima nuclear plant. The readings show the worst of the contamination hasn't reached beyond the 20-mile evacuation limit, but there's no indication all of the efforts to cool down the fuel in the reactors have paid off. Officials say it may take weeks. The Obama administration has rushed in equipment to help. Here's Times correspondent Keith Bradshaw with a look at Japan's response to criticism from the head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in this country, who said on Wednesday that the situation is worse than Japan admitted.
The Japanese have had a very interesting response. They had helicopters drop water on Reactor 3, while initially disputing the storage pond at Reactor 4 had trouble. So why are the Japanese so worried about Reactor 3? One strong possibility is that Reactor 3, unlike the other reactors, has what is known as a mixed oxide fuel, which has reclaimed plutonium in it. Nuclear engineers in the West have said that if that plutonium is dispersed through fires or explosions, that would produce an even more hazardous radioactive plume than in the other five reactors at the site. Unfortunately, the helicopter drops on Reactor 3 do not appear to have been successful. There was quite a bit of wind blowing, and so the latest effort is to try to use water cannon. And water cannons are usually used by police to try to disperse rioters. So what the Japanese authorities are really trying to do here is improvise, try to find new solutions to new problems that keep coming up.
Correspondent Keith Bradshaw. Times reporter Martin Fackler has been talking to people who fled the disaster area by going west to the city of Yamagata.
When you talk to these people, there's a lot of suspicion that the Japanese government and the Japanese media are covering up the extent of the problem. There's a lot of fear that they're not getting enough information about the risks and the danger, and they feel that they need to take things into their own hands by basically putting their families into the car and fleeing or fleeing by bus. The city of Yamagata has set up a large coliseum to serve as a refugee center. And the people fleeing the accidents will be checked with a radiation detection equipment. And then they are given blankets and food and allowed to sleep on the floor of the coliseum.
Times correspondent Martin Fackler. In this country, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is dedicated to caring for former racehorses. But scores have been neglected and are starving. Some have died. Times reporter Joe Drape says the foundation has been slow to pay the 25 farms it hired to look after the horses. Inspectors have been visiting the farms and trying to see which horses are still alive. Friday's page one has a story about the Times itself. Digital subscriptions are coming. Starting March 28th, visitors to nytimes.com can read 20 articles a month for free. Print subscribers will have unlimited access after that. Frequent users will be charged $15 a month for access to the website and a mobile phone app. They can also pay $20 for web access and an iPad app, and $35 for an all-access plan. Inside Friday's Times, how the hunt for Al-Qaeda operatives tied the CIA to Muammar Gaddafi's intelligence service in Libya. Top American officials say there were benefits, including a partnership to track terror cells in Libya. But the CIA is now facing questions about whether it was blind to undercurrents of dissent and whether its involvement with foreign spy agencies hurt America's standing with emerging democratic governments. An attack by an unmanned U.S. aircraft killed 26 people in Pakistan, many of them civilians. Several missiles fired from the drone landed where people were meeting with Taliban mediators. A Pakistani intelligence official says they were trying to settle a dispute over a chromite mine. Some on hand were Taliban fighters, but most were elders and local people who were not involved with the militants. Friday's Business Day section says the FDIC sued Washington Mutual's former chief executive. Kerry Killinger and two other executives were accused of reckless lending practices that led to the collapse of what used to be the nation's largest savings and loan. The FDIC says they focused on short-term gains to boost their own compensation. It also says Killinger and his wife set up trusts to put homes in California and Washington beyond the reach of WaMu's creditors. Here in New York, an oxycodone bust with a twist. Officials say one of the masterminds ran an ice cream truck on Staten Island. They say Louis Scala sold pills the way he sold frozen treats. He was one of 30 people indicted. The ring is accused of pushing nearly $1 million worth of pills onto the black market over a 12-month period. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts at nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.